During a transatlantic flight, the pilot came over the intercom and said, "Ladies and gentlemen, I'm delighted to be your pilot for this flight. I can tell you the flight is going very well. Nonetheless, I have to tell you about a minor glitch that has occurred. The passengers on the right side can, if you look out your window, see that the closest engine to us is slightly vibrating. Well, that shouldn't bother us because this airplane is equipped with four engines and we're flying along smoothly at an acceptable altitude. And as you're looking out that right side window, you might as well look at the other engine on that same side. You'll notice that it's glowing, or more precisely, one should say, burning. Well, that shouldn't bother us either, as this airplane is designed to fly with just two engines if it becomes necessary, and we're maintaining an acceptable altitude and speed at this time. As long as we're looking out of the airplane, those on the left side shouldn't worry if you looked out the window and noticed that the engine that is supposed to be there is missing. You see, it fell off about 10 minutes ago, but let me tell you that we're amazed that the airplane is doing so well without it. However, I will call your attention to something a little bit more serious. Along the center aisle down the middle of the airplane, you'll notice that a crack has appeared, and some of you are, I suppose, able to look through the crack, and you may even notice the waves of the Atlantic Ocean below the airplane. In fact, those of you with very good eyesight may look through that crack and notice a very small lifeboat that was thrown from the airplane a few minutes ago. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you'll be happy to know that your captain is keeping an eye on the progress of the flight from that lifeboat below. How would you feel if you were on that flight? I think I would panic, don't you? Well, that's kind of what life looks like sometimes, because things do go wrong. And after this past week here in the United States of America, I'm beginning to feel like I'm one of the passengers on that airliner. Everywhere you look, things are falling apart. It seems that everything we've known and loved all of our lives in this country we call the United States of America is beginning to fall apart. And it seems like everything we've known and loved could well crash and burn in the future. Maybe in addition to all of this, your career is falling apart because of the economy, or maybe your finances are coming apart because of a loss of a job or a loss of income. The kids have gone wild, or maybe our emotions or even our physical health is getting in really bad shape. You know, sometimes life does have a way of tearing us apart. It can cause us to just panic during times when it seems like everything is going to crash and burn. It's during times like these, when it seems like life is falling apart, that we need to know that God is still in control. You see, He knew all of this was going to happen. It did not take Him by surprise. In fact, God warned us that in the last days, perilous times would come. It certainly does appear that they are here. It does look like at least some of us could live through some of those days spoken of in the last days before the second coming of Christ. We tend to think that when things are coming apart, that God must have somehow had it in for us. But you know what? That is simply not true. It's the same theology that Job had to deal with in his day. You'll remember Job's life quite literally went to hell in a handbasket before his eyes. His children were killed. His wealth was stripped from him in an instant. And even his wife said, "Why don't you curse God and die?" And that was her best advice for him. Job's friends repeatedly told him he must have done something really bad for God to curse him in this manner and for his life to be falling apart like it was at that time. But the thing that neither Job nor his friends had recognized was that something was going on behind the scenes in heaven. It had nothing to do with Job. You see, God was still in control. God was planning to restore Job, and He did just that. What a great restorer God is. He restores lives. He restores everything about us that Satan would tear apart. God is in control at all times. And when things are falling apart, God can and God will put our lives back together. You see, He has a better plan, and it sometimes is accomplished after sin destroys everything that God has built. It's not unusual for that to happen in our sin-laced world, for sin to destroy things around it. We're given an incredible metaphor of how God restores us when life is falling apart in the book of Amos, chapter 3, verses 11 and 12, our text verse for the message today. Amos, chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says, an enemy will overrun the land, and he will pull down your strongholds and plunder your fortresses. This is what the Lord says, as a shepherd saves or recovers from the lion's mouth only two leg bones or a piece of an ear, so will the Israelites be saved. Those who sit in Samaria on the edge of their beds and in Damascus on their couches. You see, Amos, along with the other minor prophets, had warned Israel that unless they changed their wicked ways, God's judgment would sweep in like a fire and would devour them. God had chosen Israel to be His very own special possession, His children. He had raised them up. He took them by the hand and led them out of Egypt. He fed them and provided for them in the wilderness. God provided a land flowing with milk and honey and drove out their enemies. He gave them a king when they clamored for one, and He blessed their crops and increased their borders. Yet when the people had a habit of turning away from God to worship idols, and God sent the prophets to warn the people repeatedly, but they refused to listen, they continued to worship their idols and to ignore God. Finally, the breaking point came, and Amos prophesied that the Assyrians would invade the land and destroy it and take the people captive. The destruction would be so severe that that which remained of Israel would be only like the two leg bones and a piece of an ear described in Amos. We can learn about what God did from two leg bones and a piece of an ear from the Scriptures. There are several important lessons we need to learn from this passage of Scripture when everything falls apart. The first thing we need to learn is that when everything falls apart, never forget that God restores. Praise His name. In ancient times, predators like lions and wolves would often attack the sheep, and all was usually left in pieces. These pieces would be gathered by the shepherd and taken to the sheep owner so that he could account for their loss. Here it's God depicting Himself as the shepherd who recovers the two leg bones and a piece of an ear. Israel would be devastated, but not beyond recovery. You see, God would start again with those two leg bones and a piece of an ear, and He would restore Israel to blessing and favor once again. God's promise of restoration to Israel is found in Amos 9:11. In that day I will restore David's fallen tent. I will repair its broken places, restore its ruins, and build it as it used to be, so that they may possess the remnant of Edom and all the nations that bear his name, declares the Lord, who will do these things. David's fallen tent is a reference to the Davidic line of kings. God is saying that even though Israel is torn apart now and the house of David is overthrown, there is coming a time when God will raise up a future king from the house of David, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, and He will restore Israel's ruins and build her up once again. Though Israel was down to nothing, God promised restoration. There are obviously some lions in our own lives today that have attacked and torn up everything. Maybe your heart has been shattered into a thousand pieces by the assaults upon your family or your marriage or your finances or your emotions, and now even our beloved country is under attack. Maybe all that we'll be left with one day is just two leg bones and a piece of an ear. But if that does come true sometime in the future, we can all take heart because God is a restoring God. He can take what's left of the pieces of our lives and restore us to a place of blessing. We can praise the hurt away if we'll just praise His name. Throughout the Bible, we can see that God indeed restores His wealth, His health, and His children were restored to Job after he lost everything. He found himself lying in the dust, scraping his boils with broken pottery pieces. And yet in the end, God restored him and blessed him with more than he had in the beginning. 1 Samuel chapter 30 records David and his men returning from battle to discover their homes had been burned and their wives and children taken captive. David's men got angry and began to speak about stoning David. He encouraged himself in the Lord and told him, and God told him to pursue, overtake, and recover all. David's wife and children were restored to him. Peter failed Jesus miserably by denying that he even knew him, but Christ restored him and gave him a piece of prominence and authority in the early church. In the days of the prophet Joel, God sent an invasion of locusts to tear apart the land until Israel was left with nothing. Then God speaks through Joel to Israel, saying, "I will restore you the years that the swarming locusts have eaten, the hopper, the destroyer, and the cutter, my great enemy, which I sent among you," Joel 2:25. While this prophecy of restoration is meant specifically for Israel, it does show us the nature of God is indeed to restore. In my own life, I can testify that when you're down to nothing, God is always up to something. I know it's what it's like to have financial disaster. I know what it's like to lose a home to fire and to be homeless for a period of time. I know what it's like not to know where your next meal is coming from or where your next paycheck is coming from. I also know what it's like to watch God restore all those things and add His blessing back to my life. I'm sure there are many of you who can testify that God is a God of restoration. Sometimes I think we have this connotation of God that He is a spiteful, capricious deity who derives pleasure from making His own children suffer. But nothing could be further from the truth. God longs to restore us. God is glorified in the restoration of His people. In the writings of the Old Testament prophets, God mentions His coming judgment upon the people repeatedly, but every time judgment is ministered, God gives them reason for hope. You see, Israel would be chastened without God, but God restored them. God never mentioned destruction or devastation unless He mentioned restoration. If everything is falling apart, God can take what's left and restore to us a place of blessing and favor. Nothing is too hard for God. The second thing that we need to learn from this passage, when everything falls apart, remember that God always remains. Praise His name. When a sheep was destroyed by a predator and only a few pieces of its body remained, that shepherd was still there to pick up those pieces, and he had a reason for doing it. You see, the flock moved on, but the shepherd was still there, picking up those pieces. We have a shepherd that will never leave us nor forsake us, even when we're torn apart by the enemy. And even though our lives might be shattered into a thousand pieces, God still remains. He'll be right there, ready to pick us up and put us back together again. Everyone else may leave us and move on, but the shepherd of our soul will always be right by our side. As many times as Israel rebelled against God and worshiped idols, God never gave up on them. Over and over again, He called out to them through His prophets. And even when judgment finally did arrive, God told Israel that despite their invasion, defeat, and the utter destruction and exile, He would still be with them, and He was. He did not disown them nor divorce them. In Leviticus 26:44 and through 45, God tells His people, "In spite of this, when they are led of their enemies, I will not reject or abhor them as to destroy them completely, breaking my covenant with them. I am the Lord their God. But for their sake, I will remember the covenant with their ancestors, who brought out of Egypt, and of the sight in the nations to be their God. I am the Lord God. Sometimes God allows us to come to a place in life where everything falls apart and nothing remains, hoping that we will then seek Him and discover all that we really need. Seek me and be alive, the Lord says. Do not seek Bethel. Do not go to Gilgal. Do not journey to Beersheba. For Gilgal will surely go into exile, and Bethel will be reduced to nothing. Seek the Lord and live. Amos chapter 5, verse 4. Third thing we need to learn from this passage of Scripture is that when everything falls apart, remember that God remains. He always remains. Praise His name. The leg bone below the knees of a lamb is a dry bone only and pretty much worthless. Even though predators would not usually eat the leg bone, but when the bones were left behind, the shepherds would gather them into their arms because they were valuable to the owner. God, the great shepherd, will gather us of our worthless bones and the piece of an ear and take us back to God, and God will heal us and restore us. From those two leg bones and a piece of an ear, God would once again rebuild Israel, according to Amos 9, 13 through 15. Even though you may all have been left with some leg bone pieces and a piece of an ear, you need to know that God can take that which seems worthless and of no value and redeem it. When He sweeps through our lives and leaves only ashes, when Satan sweeps through our lives and leaves only the ashes, God gathers them all and He uses them to build something greater. On the day that the multitudes were following Christ, they had nothing to eat. The disciples were frantic because the people were hungry. They had no food for them. A young man came to Jesus with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But what was that 5 loaves and 2 fish among so many people? But the young man put the loaves and fish into the hands of Christ. Christ took them, blessed them, and broke them. And the disciples fed 5,000 people with them and counted 12 baskets of fragments after they had eaten. Not only were the multitudes fed, but there were 12 basketfuls of leftovers. Miracles happen when we put the seemingly worthless and small things into the hands of God. If my hands were a golf club, it's a worthless piece of metal. But in Tiger Woods' hands, a golf club is 14 major championships. In my hands, a paintbrush is a doodle brush. But in the hands of Michelangelo, it's the Sistine Chapel. In my hands, a basketball is a brick. But in the hands of Michael Jordan, it's 6 NBA championships. In my hands, a scalpel is just a way to cut my fingers off. But in the hands of Dr. Ben Carson, it's a brain hemispherectomy. No matter where you are and where you've been, no matter what failures and mistakes you've made, God can take that which is left of the pieces of your life and put them back together. He can redeem your life for something great. You may be low today, but God is ready to do something in your life that will amaze you. God isn't finished with you yet. 2 leg bones and a piece of an ear is all you need for God to show you His power in your life. I heard a song just yesterday as I was praying and meditating over this message. It spoke volumes to me, and I pray today that it will speak volumes to you. It's from our dear friends, Jeff and Sherry Easter and Charlotte Ritchie, and they're going to sing a song as we conclude this message today, and it's called Praise His Name.
When you're up against a wall and your mountain seems so tall and you realize life's not always fair, you can run away and hide, let the old man decide, or you can change your circumstances with a prayer. When everything falls apart,
praise his name. When you have a broken heart, just raise your hands and say, Lord, you're all I need. You're everything to me, and you'll take the pain. When it seems you're all alone, praise his name. When you feel you can't go on, just raise your hands and say, greater is he that is within me. You can praise the hurt.
I want to say a special thank you for listening to Sunday Worship. That's all the time we have for the program. And do be sure to listen twice on Sunday, 11 o'clock on Sunday morning, and again at 6 p.m. that evening, all Central Time. Go to the website, joychristianradio.com. Use a credit card or debit card there. You can text it. Text the word GIVE, the amount in dollars, to 833-843-2848. Or you can mail it in. The address is Post Office Box 6, Quitman, Mississippi, 39355. Thank you for your prayers, and thank you for your financial contributions that keep us on the air. This is Joy Christian Radio. Have yourself a wonderful day, and I'll see you next time on Sunday Worship.